good people, Sauce Talk is here by myself. Man, I've had some good episodes, man, with some good guests, some good friends of mine. Hope y'all enjoyed what they had to say and what we talked about. You know, it's always kind of like that, you know, barbershop, organic, or conversations. You know, we get together, we know we're going to be recording, but it's just so not produced in a sense of like scripted, or it's going to be here and there. We're just going to talk, man, and things are going to happen the way they happen. And, you know, sometimes you might hear some things in the background. Sometimes you might, you know, have some technical difficulties, because that may happen with just simple, like, little things. But as a growing podcast that I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to grow my, you know, listeners and try to keep listeners keep coming to hit play. So a lot of those things we're going to try to just clean up and try to make that, try not to make that a big time thing as a selling point of my podcast, but just understand that it's natural as hell. You know, it's not something that is studio produced. So I mean, put it that way. But week 14 in the books. You know, Monday Night Football concluded last night. Patriots knocked off the Cardinals. We had Sunday Night Football where the Dolphins lost to the LA Chargers. We had 49ers beat the living trash out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and had them just all foiled up without Debo Samuel a good part of that game, which I'm hearing good things that he is not going to be out for the rest of the season. No type of tear in ACL, broken foot, broken ankle type deals. It seemed like he's going to be okay. Still might miss some time, but it's way better than what we were seeing from the emotion, the crying, the everybody from both teams coming. Just the same thing with Russell Wilson. And he had a big-time concussion in the game against Kansas City in that loss, which Patrick Mahomes almost handed it to him or our Ripon. So we had that go on. We had Mike White take some of the hardest, cleanest tackles of this season. Maybe had some internal injuries and things of that nature coming out with that game that went to the wire in a sense, but just Buffalo pulled away and got it done. But man, Mike White had a time of pain and agony with taking one hit coming out and then coming back in the game and taking another one. They said he did leave in an ambulance and went to a hospital. So hopefully he's okay. We had the Tennessee Titans get blown out by the Jacksonville Jags after Derrick Henry was going to, you know, set the Sunday on fire. He had over 100 yards rushing in the first quarter. He's always ran hard against the Jags. He's always owned the Jags. And then all of a sudden, they shut him down and then win the game 35-14. Crazy, 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 crazy scenario right there for the Jacksonville Jaguars to come and do what they did and how they did it. I mean, they 36-22. Then, of course, you know, getting all the blowouts out the way, the Philadelphia Eagles goes up against the New York Giants. We didn't have no catastrophic injuries or nothing like that. We know coming into the game, we had some people dealing with stuff. A.J. Brown, I think, was dealing with some stuff. Saquon Barkley was dealing with some injuries and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, you had that going. Man, Philly Eagles are just like that on offense. Devontae Smith catches a touchdown, which I'm very confused on how a defender is coming in like that. You just make a play on the ball by swiping. If you didn't want to collide into Devontae Smith, which is cool, you looked out for a fellow football player. You looked out, you made a business decision for yourself. You going full speed, he's going full speed. Do y'all really want to collide in that situation? Is they going to call a flag in that situation for a helpless wide receiver? So he thought about all that, but went for the interception. I think just a kind of bad move. Swat the ball down, son. Swat it down. And then you live with knowing that you made the smart play. Other than that, you just gave up a touchdown to Devontae Smith. He catches it, runs into the end zone. I mean, it was just crazy. Baltimore goes up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, we had to go with this concussion protocol over and over. Man, Kenny Pickett gets hit. He gets driven down into the dirt, and he had to come out. And Mitch Trubisky comes in right on time and gives Baltimore enough chances to get the game. And over said match, wins 16-14. Another big-time win for a team that's on the rise, just like Jacksonville. And that is a team that we also know about, and that is the Detroit Lions, as they knock off the Minnesota Vikings 34-23. They just had it. Jared Goff had it, okay? Jared Goff had it. He's just going to be having it one of those days. But Kirk Cousins, man, he had it too. He threw 31-41, 425, two touchdowns, no interceptions. freaking Justin Jefferson's a freaking monster, okay? Jared Goff went 27-39, 330, three touchdowns, no interceptions. I tell you what, we have a Chark, Amara, Reynolds. Now you got Jameson Williams in there. It opens up so much to be healthy. And have all your weapons out there, Jared Goff can fly. And when you have rushing, like to have they have it, just spread out. Go somebody, get it this way, whatever like that. Some play action stuff can work. Now they run ins and rounds with Amara and stuff like that. It all works. They got it done. They knocked off Minnesota Vikings, a freaking division rival. They get a victory. Sets Minnesota back some more. And then there we have it. Seattle Seahawks, man, they stop a two-game lose streak. They get a win last week, but this week they lose the Carolina Panthers. I can't believe it. Sam Darnold and company gets it done. I just can't believe it. They won 30-24. It seemed like they had so many chances to get it done, but Seattle just couldn't get it, man. They just couldn't get it. I felt bad for them. Miami, like I said, in that loss, Tua, golly, Tua. You'd hate to see it, man. Every time I kept looking at the screen, it was like incompletion. You know, Tyreek Hill couldn't even get 100 yards receiving because he threw so many incompletions. So many passes that they just couldn't get. And he was getting rushed tremendously. He was, I would say that the Chargers was almost kind of playing like the 49ers as far as how they was getting things moving and rocking and startling and stuff like that. But then the play of all plays happened. A fumble just squirts out of nowhere. Then it squirts again. And then, oh my God, it's in Tyreek Hill's hands. He runs around the pal, and he's gone. I mean, this, without a doubt, you're not catching that guy. And I thought that was, like, pretty just crazy how that can happen, man. But Waddle, Hill couldn't even put 200 yards like they've been doing together. I mean, they've been getting, like, almost 200 yards together for, like, what, the last, what, three or four games. And Tua, or should I say, about three games ago, but here the last two games, Tua has not been the same, and they're going to have to get it together with losing two in a row like that. Just going to have to get some things popping back with the defense. Y'all going to have to talk to them. Y'all letting up 30-some points in the last few games. Y'all are letting teams just own y'all. And then on the road, it's even worse. You know, it's way worse on the road for the Miami Dolphins defense. They're going to have to get that addressed. And you know, be honest about the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, like, Pat Mahomes, man, is so can wow us, and then he can be like, oh, man, he's going to have to clean that up. He can't have interceptions like that trying to beat a team like Denver, you know, which, you know, I got a good defense. You know, I can't sit there and just poo-pooing them, but y'all are a well-put-together team to try to do things to get it done. And I feel like he missed a couple passes. He missed Kelce on one. I mean, He wasn't all the way MVP-ish. And it is to the point to where you're going to let Jalen Hurts jump in the way and steal that MVP thunder. And, oh, man, that'd be crazy. That would be crazy. That would be crazy, wouldn't it not? Wouldn't it not? Wouldn't it not? I mean, we've already talked about the crazy fact that Baker Mayfield went and beat Derek Carr. I mean, Jesus Christ, man, when he was the team for 48 hours. But it's just crazy to see Tom Brady how he is content is football to where, like, man, 10-year Tom Brady wouldn't have signed nobody's autograph, would not have autographed an intercepted ball. But I don't have no problem with it because of the age of the time in his career to where it's like, yeah, that's great. Like, here, let me see that ball, man. Let me sign that thing. I mean, at this point, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm being about as optimistic as possible. I'm not hanging my head. I know you went through a divorce, but as a football player, you are secure with your career. And that right there shows that he is. I mean, like, well, I signed your freaking ball. I mean, like, anybody worried about that? You know, people sitting there like, man, I wouldn't have did that. I wouldn't have signed it. But it's like, he's 45. Like, if he would have been like 36-year-old time, I'm pretty sure he'd have been like, nah, I'm good. I'm good. I'll see you next week. You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, whatever. We'll see you next time when we play against each other. Whatever. You ain't going to pick me off again, motherfucker. Probably would have cussed him as, you know, who knows? But it's just to the people in today's time, they want to voice their opinion, and your opinion's going to get hurt. I think it gets hurt to the point where people feel like, man, Tom is just not like that. And it's just that people out here, what their opinions are. And that's just the bottom line of it. Everybody's different. We all different. Me, I would have been, you know, cool signing it. I would have signed it. No problem. 45 years old. Why would I have been like, get out of my face? You know, Kenny Powers. You know, you can think of somebody like a Danny McBride, I think that's his name, or Kevin McBride, whatever his name is, you know, playing the Kenny Powers character. If he would have been sitting there like that, playing the character Kenny Powers probably wouldn't have signed that. He'd be like, hey, man, you signed a home run ball. You know, a kid come up to me and want to sign a home run ball. I told that kid, you know, you shove that ball right up his ass. You know, he would have said that. You know what I'm saying? The character Kenny Powers. But Tom Brady, 45 years old, played football, you know, long as he has. Playing at a place where he fell in love with football at so many emotions, man. Probably didn't even feel the loss all the way. You know, a win would have been great, but I'm not going to poo-poo over that moment. I poo-poo more over the fact that him throwing the ball terribly and missing guys and not being on the same page with Mike Evans, seeing them two, you know, have like a little bit of a attitude with each other, and now they're on the sideline getting the media treatment, and now people got to talk about them too. Cameron Brady ain't out there doing nothing. I'm not seeing Scotty Miller do nothing. Chris Godwin still trying to get himself back right. I'm not seeing Julio Jones do a damn thing. Just being honest, I'm not seeing enough. I'm just not seeing enough. Just being completely honest, I'm not seeing enough. It's not enough. It's just not enough. I look at injuries as a big part of it. Vita Vea went out in that game. I believe Jamel Dean went out in that game. It's just bad to where we didn't have certain players line up in the start of the game. Tristan Wirfs. It makes it to where you know where we can sit there and say, oh, blame Byron Leftwich, or it's Todd Bowles taking over, and Bruce Arians should have stayed coach. It's like, no, we need a miracle of no injuries. Because when we won the Super Bowl, really the injuries that we sustained was like missing Gronk for a little bit. He came back because he had a slow start and he got going. I think we had a little problems here and there with Donovan Smith. I think Murphy Bunting got hurt a little bit and then he was able to come back, or him or Whitehead, one or two. I mean, we had injuries like that. It was sporadic. And we brought in JPP. Had him ready. He got hurt. He was ready to go playing hurt and stuff like that, still playing good. So I mean, that is done. You know, Lavonte David, when he gets hurt, he's hurt. You know, Devin White is really our defense. You know, Antoine Winfield, when he's on the field, he's good. I like Carlton Davis for the most part. I mean, you can't really complain on Logan Ryan. We know his pedigree. I mean, so we got good defensive pieces still. You know, Joe Tryon, he got hurt in that game. So, I mean, like, it's so much. It's so much, man. It's so much of injuries that we just can't use that as an excuse. And as professional men, knowing that there's the second and third guy on the depth chart is next man up. So that's why when these analysts and stuff, when they talk about the downfall of certain teams, yeah, they mention the injuries, but it's still at the point you still got to get the job done. Because you look at the 49ers, they've had injuries too and been decimated, and people didn't give them no slack. And now here they are fully healthy, and they lose their quarterback, and they got Mr. Irrelevant, you know, last pick of the draft, Brock Purdy, who is getting an MRI today. You're going to have to look at him. But he can just manage and keep things right and keep a team, one of the top three teams in the league, which they are. I mean, their defense is holding literally teams to no points in the second half, and it's just they're doing it for fun. They're doing it for fun. So when you look at, you know, how the whole injury, you can't use an excuse, because about five, six games ago, you know, 49ers didn't have all their horses and they got beat. You know, to where if they would have, they would have won that game. You know, so people sit there and say, oh man, like, Atlanta beat 49ers. How? You know what I'm saying? You know, if Atlanta played the 49ers Thursday night football. Let's just say that was the game here in a couple of days. That was the Thursday night game. But really, it's the 49ers and Seahawks. But what if it was the 49ers and Falcons? The 49ers would kill them. They would kill them. Especially with Ritter starting, they would kill them. Let's just be real. You know what I'm saying? They would kill them. I'm just being real, man. I know I may sound crazy, but it's just like they would kill them. They would definitely kill them. 49ers, it's just how they have everything synced up to where it's almost kind of like they have that same type of mindset, drive, and hungriness and momentum that they had pushing to the towards the Super Bowl when they played against the Chiefs. And they got Christian McCaffrey. You know what I'm saying? They got more experience in the coaching staff with more understanding. They got better defensive players. They got guys with more time and knowledge and development. So all that stuff coming into, that's why they're able to stop teams the way they stop. You know, even George Kittle, you know, even down to George Kittle knows that, okay, now I'm here. He's safe with his body and stuff like that. He's going to stay on the field. Brandon Ayuk is on the team at addition that's doing amazing things. So, way better team than was against that Kansas City Chiefs team. They came one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. And they don't even got Jimmy. You know, with Jimmy, if he comes back in the playoffs, wow. You know, they are what I think the Eagles and the Cowboys can be. You know, when you look at their hiccups, I think it's more of a NFC East. I swear to God, like, okay, put it this way. People really believe the curse of the Bambino. People believe the curse of the goat. People believe the curse, man, is the curse. The curse of all curses, man. It's like the curse of the Cubs, like the goat. Like the curse of Moises Alou could not catch that ball because the fan had to touch it because of the goat. But I think the NFC East, it's more the accident waiting to happen than the Cowboys. I think the NFC East is the big-time accident waiting to happen. Or should I say just the regular, and then the Cowboys be the big-time. Because they're America's team, and they're going to have the eye. And you'd say, oh, Sauce, how can you say that? The Eagles won the Super Bowl not too long ago. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They had a Super Bowl that I felt like an amazing season. They did it with a backup. They drafted a guy at number one. He didn't pan out. They had to go and save the day with Jalen Hurts. They had to fire their coach. They had to go through a shitty coach. They had to do all this stuff, and now here they are. They battled through it better than any Cowboy or any Washington team or any other, you know, or Giant, you know, type regime. They are the real accident waiting to happen. Is the division is really the accident. How many 8-8s do, you know, two teams can have in one freaking season? You know, how many seasons where it's been 9-7, 8-8 for the Giants or the Eagles or Cowboys and a combination of that? Like, just think of how many times that has happened. They have been the accident waiting to happen. So that's why it's like, yeah, I got Eagles and Cowboys at the top two. And, you know, I got 49ers being the third team because, you know, Brock Purdy, stack him up against Hurts and Dak. You know, Dak now, Dak, since he's been back from injury, especially just this full season, he has more interceptions than touchdowns. He has 1.8 interceptions a game. You know, that's realistic. And he has, I think, a ton of passes being tipped at the line of scrimmage. That is happening at a high rate. That has ended up being highest almost in the NFL, I think around my 6 or 5, in the NFL of tipped passes at the line of scrimmage. So there's something that's got to go on with Dak Prescott and trying to get outside the pocket, like I've been saying. Herbert does it. Patrick does it. Look at the quarterbacks that do it. Oh, my God. Dak Prescott is so worried about the ankle injury and so much about getting hit and having a fluke injury, man. Hell, you're going to throw yourself interceptions to death until they take you out. Be you, man. Get to the run. You know, that pass that he threw to Noah Brown on a run like that could have been a better pass. Not nothing bad, but they completed it. It was something outside of the box. It was like, get out of there. Make a Those are the plays you make. Those are the plays that you can go ahead and try to make, even on short plays. You don't got to stand in the pocket stubbornly and do your little hip twist and force a pass in the middle of the field knowing it's going to get intercepted. Unbelievable. Because you played against a team that really was supposed to go out there and hand it over to y'all. But now, you know, this offensive coordinator now is going to get a lot of praise because he got praise coming in. So, I mean, like, with all that said, you know, it's like, they're like, yeah, we almost beat the Cowboys. So now it makes the Cowboys look less than. I'm not going to look at them too less than because, you know, it is what it is. Lovie Smith put out a good defensive game plan with the cover twos and stuff like that, kind of confused Dak, and it worked. You know, adding T.Y. Hilton definitely is going to help them because, Yeah, you know Brown's a good player. Gallup, is he all the way there? You know what I'm saying? Granted, that was a hard hit. He got hit hard. Dak put it right there in his hands. He got stuck. I mean, you really, you know, it was in your hands. You got to catch it, but God damn. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he got hit. You know, CD's going to do what he do. Schultz, is, yeah, they got two tight ends underneath Schultz that they bring in. Tony Pollard is their, you know, their guiding light as far as the energy and being a true weapon. And Zeke is their battering ram that's going to get what he did in a 96-yard drive, get to the goal line, hand it to Zeke, let him score. And he had some big runs before that, too. He had some plays where he broke some tackles and stuff. Just that you're not going to get your 60-yard run from Zeke. Not because he's not athletic no more. Not because he's not fat. It's because nobody's trying to let Zeke do that. And I'm not sitting there saying Pollard is getting off because of... No, Pollard is fast. He's like one of the fast players in the league. He runs kickoffs back. He can get loose. He can get out of space. He's gone. You know what I'm saying? I'm not shitting on Tony Pollard. But there's a bit of... To where it's like to say that Zeke is losing so much, but it's just a bit to where they know that Zeke is, you know, we're gonna make sure we gotta stop Zeke. We can't let Zeke because we know the team is gonna build so much momentum off of that. We can't let Zeke get loose. Zeke can probably still run a long gainer. I ain't saying he ain't gonna get hulked or something like that, but it's just like Zeke is not. They're looking at Zeke. When they see 21 on that field, they know. Let's get it. Micah Parsons is feeling it. Let's be realistic. Micah Parsons is the best player on the damn defense. So you mean to tell me that after a while, they're just going to keep letting this kid wreak havoc? It's the same thing. Zeke is not going to sit there and have his way. But if you look at the numbers, the concentrated numbers, like, damn, he is getting it done, though. He's getting it done. Just like Micah Parsons, getting it done. But as you can see, when people say, oh, man, he's starting to get this and then. I believe somebody. I'm not going to pull out no names. I'm sitting there saying, oh, man, Michael Parsons has lost some giddy-up. He's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- I think one of the things is that, you know, questioning somebody's heart or energy is one thing, but you got to understand that there's situations that comes with playing on that defensive line, just like when Aaron Donald had to go through the last 3 years. Because it's funny. Now he won a Super Bowl, everybody's on Aaron Donald's nuts, and now he don't get talked about because the Rams suck. He's been hurt and stuff like that. But here's the funny thing. For the last 3 years, people were like, oh man, like when the Rams wasn't making it to the Super Bowl, yeah, it was competitive, you know, especially with Gurley and them. But they went to the Super Bowl and only put up 3 points or whatever. But my thing is this. Aaron Donald's always been the shit. Always been the shit. Always. But then people were like, oh man, look, he ain't even getting sacked though. He ain't doing this. He ain't really, how is he really this? And he ain't really, he does stuff that don't put on paper that. He's one of the best, okay? He's one of the best, okay? Just like Micah Parsons is one of the best today at what he does. The difference is that, hey, with him being the best and him being so freakish athletic, maybe they're trying to not tire him out. Maybe they're not trying to have him cover and run down the run and then pass rush and stuff like that. So you might see a little unsettledness in him to where there might be dialing him back, getting ready for the playoffs. Could be getting ready for, you know, not try because D-Law can work. We might use you as a baby decoy. You know, they might run away from you. There's teams going to get away from you. There's teams that are going to run plays like how the Houston Texans was with a lot of, you know, I would say RPOs to get a defense in like that, you know, off his kettle a little bit. And it worked for the most part. So, I mean, like, you got to do different things like that. You can't just drop back and just think like, you know, like Minnesota couldn't do that. You know, Kirk Cousins had to drop back and face Micah Parsons. You know, those quarterbacks that have to do that. And then you got guys like Jeff Driskel, who you can sit there and say, hey, we're going to do this. And it was offset a lot of what Dallas could do. Just like Green Bay, we're going to run the ball. 20 attempts for Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to sack you like that. So it's like you have to understand that football is so much a coaching sport to find out to get the best ways for your players. And sometimes players are excellent, smart, high IQ players that can help out in that. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady's, Randy Moss's, Jerry Rice's. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's looking like some one of them. So, I mean, like, you have that in that nature. Speaking of just all-out talent, Joe Burrow put a slant route pass on Ja'Marr fucking Chase that was out of this world, okay? Out of this world. A lot of people go back and look at that as like a simple pitch catch, but the window to the wall. I mean, sweat dropped down the coach's head, man. Like, oh, shit. Like, I mean, it was right there. I mean, literally, the replay, Ja'Marr Chase made that slant route. Look, the ball was right there. What? No, he looked and Joe had to throw it. Joe already threw the ball. He already threw it. Right in his hands. Perfect. Touchdown. That's football right there, man. That's football. Football at its finest. Like I said, I think with how the end of the season is going to go, it's going to be some drama. It's going to be some crazy shit going down. And I think, you know, the New Year's Eve's games between, you know, the Cowboys and the Eagles. And I think, I'm not mistaken, I want to say that the Bills are playing the Miami Dolphins. Or that, I think it's the it's the Dolphins and the Packers. And I think the Bills is playing. I forgot the Bills are playing. Maybe I just know it's going down Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is going down. And a lot of these game, rest of the games, you know, for some of these teams, you know, it's harder or easy. But Christmas Eve, man. Yeah, Buffalo is playing the Bears at Chicago, which I don't, you know, I think whether or how Buffalo wants to go at a team that's having a losing record, how they want to go at it. But like I said, the 49ers playing the Commanders, that's, hey, we'll see. But that's not, Eagles, Cowboys. Yeah, Green Bay, Miami, I got that right. And I want to say, yeah, that's it, really. I mean, Bengals play the Patriots. Patriots got 7 wins. I think the Bengals will win that, but it's in Foxborough. So, I mean, we know how Foxborough can be. Vikings playing the Giants. That could be something to watch. Detroit and Carolina, that's something to sit back and watch. But, hey, this Saturday, my birthday, we got Miami versus Buffalo. That's the game that I was talking about. It's coming earlier than what I thought. On my birthday, 8:15, Saturday night, Miami Dolphins playing at Buffalo. How are they going to play in that damn winter? Because it was already some slush, some snow, some funky stuff coming down Sunday. Baltimore and Cleveland, big-time AFC North showdown. I don't think Lamar's going to be playing in that one. I'm not 100% sure on that. I know Deshaun is going to be Indianapolis and Minnesota Vikings going to be playing, kicking it off at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Sunday, slate of games. We got, you know, of course, Cincy and Tampa Bay. I don't know about Tampa Bay, man. It's at home. But I just don't know about the defense of how they've been playing, especially where they played yesterday and let Brock Purdy do them like that. Atlanta Falcons and the Saints, boo. Philly, Chicago, told you. Dallas and Jacksonville, good game. That's a good game on the mark. Jacksonville just played a damn good game against Tennessee. Dallas beats Tennessee last week. So, I mean, like, interesting. Very, very interesting. What was it? When I went last week. Am I wrong? When that? I always sit with it because they're playing these AFC teams. They have not played them yet. They play week 17. I think it was the Eagles that mistreated because A.J. Brown. Yeah, that's what it was. It was the AFC East team. It was A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. They went crazy on the Titans. So the Titans are going to have to face another NFC East team in the Dallas Cowboys later on. But this Sunday, they will be playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I say the Jaguars are going to bring it, especially being at home. I don't know. I wonder if AEW doing a pay-per-view this weekend. I'm not sure. I got to look. Detroit is playing the New York Jets. I think that's a good game. That's a damn good game for this weekend. Pittsburgh Steelers and Carolina. KFC. Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes throwing picks like he's throwing Kentucky Fried Chicken in the air. I mean, if he throws two picks against Houston, man, I'm be tripping. I tell you that. But they playing Houston, that should be a walk-through. But we said the same thing with Cowboys when they traveled. Because didn't they travel and play the Houston Texans? If I'm not mistaken. No, they was in freaking, the kettle was there and everything. What am I talking about? You knew this. But anyway, Giants and Commanders. Hopefully we get to see Chase Young. Let me see. Chase Young. Looking like Chase Young might be good. He's questionable now. All right. We possibly may see Chase Young come back. I saw him get hurt live in Washington. It sucked. So it might come back and play against the Giants live. We never know. I want to see him play again, just to see him out there play Monday Night Football. Rams and Packers, these two done teams, that would have been electric fine. It would have been fireworks if these two teams would have been hitting on all cylinders and playing Monday Night Football 2 days after my birthday. It would have been pandemonium, but it's too bad that Green Bay 5-8, LA Rams 4-9. Now, LA Rams with a big win now, big win over the Thursday night going up against Las Vegas, but I think Aaron Rodgers is not going to lose to Baker Mayfield. I just something tells me that he don't want to do that. And it's crazy to point out that Cam Akers is not even over 100. He's not even over 500 rushing yards. Not even close. Not even close. Damn. Not even close. Not even close, close, close. I mean, Jesus, man. Jesus, man. Not even. Crazy. So, when you look at everything, how it's boiling down, we are, with these extra games that we gotta sit there and watch, which we got, what? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 more weeks left, and bye weeks are done. Bye weeks are done. The last bye weeks was Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, Indianapolis, New Orleans, and Washington. Now everybody's playing everybody. I mean, you know, everybody's playing on Sundays, Thursdays, Saturdays. You know, how it gets around this time. It's going down. It's going down, man. It's going down. And I just can't wait how it's going to go down, man. Because, like I said, the games that I've talked about, there's no need else being said, man. There's nothing else need to be said. But now it's just football needs to be on the field and put on the place and let that kicker kick that thing off and let's get it popping. But like I said, I went over the breakdown for week 14. Hope I did well. Hope everybody understood what I had to, you know, to get. You know, my thing about breaking down these weeks is that it's a mind of what from watching Red Zone, keying in on certain games. If I may turn to an individual game, but I'm looking for it. You know, I'm looking for flash plays. I'm looking for individual development. I'm looking for certain things to speak about, some things to pop. And I would say one of the things that this weekend that had me sitting there saying, pretty nifty, pretty nice. Pretty nifty, pretty nice. Is the fact that Justin Jefferson is so close. Tyreek Hill is so close. They just need some big games. And Calvin Johnson's 2,000-yard season of receiving is in this is a hunt going down. Yeah, I mean, 200, he had 11 catches. Justin Jefferson had 11 catches for 230 Sunday. I mean, Tyreek Hill got a little gimpy. He had 81 on 6 catches. He probably could have finished the game maybe 11 catches or something like that for like $190. I mean, they missed a couple deep plays that would have put him there. Tua did not throw the ball for some reason. But it's crazy where these receivers are getting numbers like this now. And it's almost kind of like, are we going crazy about it? Because, last year, Ja'Marr Chase was the 200-yard, you know, alongside with Jefferson and, you know, some other wide receivers out there hanging in there getting some big games. You know, Mike Evans was getting his 30-30. DK Metcalf was having some good games. So it was Devontae Adams was tearing the league up. I mean, he's leading the league in touchdowns this year. I mean, it's just more so it's just people getting yards over touchdowns because of how these offenses are built to get down the field. A lot of these offenses have gotten 41 to 50 pass attempts, and it's like almost extended handoffs for run games. You know, with Austin Eckler, if you're using somebody like a White from Tampa Bay, or you're using somebody like Christian McCaffrey out of San Francisco, not everybody got a Derrick Henry. Not everybody got a Devontae Foreman. Not everybody got a bruiser or somebody that can sit there and get the ball between the tackles like these guys. They got to find ways to get down the field. And a lot of these teams, you know, they try to run. You know, I think who came out there, ran the ball 12 times. I think Miami did against 49ers, ran the ball 12 times. Got a couple of decent some here and there, but just realizing that, okay, we're going to have to pass. We're going to have to pass. And it just didn't work. And then I think 49ers want to play that game with teams and think like, hey, man, y'all going to start passing. And then you do, and it's like, oh, shit. It's tough. It's real tough out there. And when you see the production of somebody like a Kirk Cousins doing what he's doing with Justin Jefferson, it's like, damn, defense, y'all got to get it together because this team was a top team and they're scoring points, but y'all can't stop them from scoring points. Same thing with Miami. But, you know, it's a lot of things with Tua going to have to get, you know, cleared up. But the defense is allowing 30-some points a game, just like how – the Vikings defense ain't really stopping a whole lot either. I mean, like, it's really coming to that. I mean, you look at the freaking Dallas Cowboys who had a terrible game against Houston Texans. But that defense said, you know what? Y'all not going to do shit against us. I mean, look at the freaking Denver Broncos. And there they, I think, what was that, like a, I think if they could have just scored, I think like a, just think about each game, if they could have just attached 10 points to each game, what their record would be. Just 10 points. 10 points here and there. Now, you might have a couple losses still, but just think, if you could just add 10 points to the Broncos on their season, just think what their record would be. It's insane. You know what I'm saying? Because of the defense. Teams out here with tough defenses, just not enough offense. And Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh played against each other, and we saw that score of 16-14. Jets and Bills, 12-20. I mean, it's going down, man. It's going down. Feel bad for Kyler Murray. It looks like he tore his ACL last night against the Patriots, man. The Patriots did a mixture of run, pass type, more run. You know, we're going to – I don't know if they didn't appreciate – I'm sure they didn't appreciate what Mac Jones had to say on the sideline, so they ran the ball more. They gave him passing opportunities. He didn't throw a touchdown. But, you know, he – through the north side of, I think, of above 60% of his passes. And they got a victory over a Colt McCoy, who had to come in the game very early because around 13 minutes in the first quarter, Kyler Murray takes off running. He's making a move. And next thing you know, he's on a non-contact injury. And he's on a cart. And there's a lot of emotion going on. And we've seen that with Debo. And it was just like, oh, God. And it was like, and just like Debo, you know, Kyler Murray didn't get the same news. Fortunate news that Debo got. He got the news of saying, like, man, we haven't even did the x-ray yet. We already know it's a torn ACL. So that's a tough one right there for Kyler, for going through what he's going through. He signs a big contract. I have stipulations on it coming into the season. There's a lot of speculation about how he's going to play and perform and stuff. And then they start out all right. He makes some plays. They, you know, a good game against the Raiders, I remember. But it's just not a whole lot there. And you get D-Hop back, and it just doesn't help. And they just look the same, and it just looked bad. And it just looked like a poorly coached team that has a player that had an attitude problem, and it seemed like everybody was piling on him. Even players from other teams piling on Kyler, and now he tore his ACL. So, it's like, damn, man. It's like, damn, that really happened. Like, I just hate that for him. I hate that for him. Yeah, I hope he comes back strong from it. Hope if it's playing football, if he transitions back to baseball, I just say come back and play football. You went in, dove in head first, go ahead and finish it. Finish it until they're done with you. You know, I still think there's talent still there. There's still a team that can build an offensive line and things around him for him to be successful. Extend the pocket and deliver the pass he can play, do. And then, you know, because you don't want a player like that to have to make a play every play with his legs. You just don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to do that like that. I just find that foolishness and dumb and all that good stuff. But what a crazy week of football. And now we got college football playoffs about to start off. The Heisman went on. Caleb Williams runs away with it. Everybody knew he was going to win it. Just so much heart and talent and just, you know, just football grit instinct. And it put it all together with Lincoln Riley at USC. And Caleb, you know what I'm saying, just balled out. And I would look at the race not being what I would say truly highly competitive. Yeah, you may look at the names of C.J. Stroud and Max Duggan and names like, you know, then you're like, wow, like, he beat a good – this is a weird season. Weird season for college football. But from the weird season, we saw the best out of Caleb Williams, and he was announced the winner. So congratulations to him. And congratulations to Deion Sanders, which, you know, I've already did that. You know, taking the job of Colorado, he has turned it upside down. I mean, he has gotten the jersey merchandise sales going up. He's got big-time offense coordinator, defense coordinator, assistant coaches coming in. He's got transfers changing their mind. You know, he's got players entering the portal knowing that their job is done. It ain't nothing personal. It's business. And y'all learn about it when you make it to the NFL if you make it. So ain't no need sugarcoating and walking around eggshells now. And I think that's what Deion is doing right there. Good job for him. And he's getting it done. But sad news, man. Rest in peace, Mike Leach. A coach that I've, you know, known about since covering or just being a fan of football in general. But, you know, through Texas Tech, through Washington State, and he finishes his life at Mississippi State. I just hate that he is gone. As far as, like, his family condones his prayers out to the family, knowing that Mike Leach wasn't done coaching. I mean, like, taking the job at Mississippi State, well, he was about to create a good path there. And you know, we never know when our time's to go. So, I mean, like I said, man, prayers out to the family. 61-year-old Mike Leach, man, has left us. And that's just terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Now. I'm going to stop at this point. That is a good point to stop. But one thing I do want to mention before I go ahead and conclude is the fact that I appreciate the listeners and appreciate the support, especially from, you know, my city. I think that's majority of the people I aim for, you know, to get that out and then for it to expand. And, you know, I know that in today's technology with this sharing of stuff can come a little easier as far as people in out of, you know, state, you know, way across the country, even out of the country can hear me. So it's just all about getting the word out and the buzz going and stuff like that and me keeping on going, being consistent. But the main thing is that what I did last week is having that type of panel. I want to try to continue doing forward and talking about the youth in this good old city, in this state of West Virginia, because I already had somebody on here talking about Morgantown and stuff. So we had people here talking about other places other than the Kanawha Valley. But just to give people, you know, what's going on here. I mean, like, basketball season's kicked off. I think it's a big game tonight, Hurricane and Capital. I know people going to be talking about that tomorrow and stuff like that. So hopefully I can, you know, video productions, putting a good stream together for that so I can be able to see that. That's a big thing. And video productions, man, I think they're on Facebook. They've been putting out a lot of good stuff for the streaming stuff for me to see because, you know, if I can't make it out. So I'm really going to be paying attention to that this season for this basketball for the high school, for the high schools, for 4A, you know. For 3A, you know, don't matter. I want to see some youth basketball in the Valley, man. I want to see that. I want to see these teams go head to head. Hopefully, you know, tonight is going to be a banger. You know, Hurricane, you know, the football team, they made it to the state champ. They made it to the state 20. You know, Capital didn't. So we're going to see what the basketball team is going to be about. Basketball got some buzz and some good names out there. Hopefully, we get some. Get some stats, get some correspondence, get some players, hopefully, you know, maybe get a player, guest one of these days. So y'all just got to keep paying attention on that one. So we're going to keep that rolling. But I'm going to go ahead and end this one with the NFL talk. And like I said, college football playoff coming up. Like I said, boxing with some things coming. It's nothing really happening here at the end of December. A lot of people got scared and they want to make these fights. And we got a whole bunch of fights coming next year. You know, Errol Spence, still no fight date. Terrence Crawford had a terrible, terrible, terrible event. Yeah, he won. Boxing gloves coming loose. Thumb coming out. Just terrible, man. I didn't like nothing about it. He could have been prepping for Errol Spence, getting ready for next year, fighting in January, February. But no, we got to sit there and wait. We got to wait for Tank, and we got to wait for Ryan Garcia because they got to tune up fights before that. We got, you know, so many fights that just can be made, but just not be made. Devin Haney out here talking stuff to Shakur. Steve talking stuff about Tank. Tank talking shit about both of them. So, I mean, it's going to be fireworks. Don't get me wrong. It's going to be fireworks. It's just not the type of UFC planning that they be doing with these fights and getting them together. It's just different in the boxing world. It's way different. It's way, way different. Speaking of which, Paddy Pimblett, man, he had a fight over the weekend and looked unimpressive. A lot of people thought he lost. I thought he won. He came very close to losing. You know, I could find little things in there to show that he won the fight, but definitely for him calling out the names that he's calling out and thinking that he won that fight easy, man, he better get in the lab and get it together. I'll tell you that much, man, because Paddy the Batty, he does have a good following. He does got charisma. He does got personality. So you always want to see a star like that come arise, you know, to whatever sport it is, if even if it's acting, whatever like that. It's just, it's always good. He's always good. So there's that. So I covered that. So y'all have a good one. We will be back. Hopefully I'll be back with a guest, man. Hope we get John, Sam. You know, I'm trying to, I'm bugging people. I'm telling people, hey, man, come over here and talk with me, man. Let's get this thing popping. So y'all enjoy y'all's day. Sauce Talk is going to go ahead on head on out. And, you know, this is something that I want to, this is my first P.S. of an episode. I'm going to be like, damn, you got another part? Pay attention to the Richard. Odell Beckham Jr. Just real quick. Odell Beckham. Before everybody tries to write off Odell Beckham, before everybody sit there and say, man, is he, you know, T.Y. Hilton to the Cowboys. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Bills signed a wide receiver. I think they signed Cole Beasley, if I'm not mistaken, or somebody. I think it was Cole Beasley or somebody. They signed him. So, I mean, my point is, and I'm getting to, is that don't panic, people. People, I think the headlines is that, what does this mean for Odell? Is he done? Is he not going to play football no more? People talking about his statement. I thought it was stupid. That's why I'm coming back on here with a P.S. Stupid by Odell for saying what he said. Now, reason why I say it's stupid, because I think the reason why people want to sign to you now, because they seen that you were going to be something next year. So I think it would be fitting to go through it all hoopla of next year, coming down training camp and stuff like that, to be like, oh, we'll go take a look at Odell. But seeing that you're the topic of discussion, and everybody knows that Odell is loving that, I think he rode that way too long, knowing that he wasn't going to be ready to play this year. And once that got out, which Jerry Jones was not going to be quiet about that, seeing that all this guy's sitting there trying to, you know, get shopped around like a superstar, knowing that he ain't damaged goods, but he, you know about him, he's been hurt. He's got an injury that we know he's, you know, he's still, knowing that he was only going to be available around this time, maybe around this time, and I don't look like he's available from some of the physicals that he's received. So there's people looking at it like, hell, if you sign this guy now, he'll be on the team going to next year. So I just think it's the Cowboys or the Bills or anybody else was thinking like, yeah, we'll sign him next year. If it looks right, depending on what happens to this season and things like that, next year we'll take a flyer and look at old BJ. But I think with his statement, what he said, really messed him up even more, to where it may not even happen in an off season, is that you don't tell nobody in the NFL. Randy Moss is loved, beloved. He's on ESPN. He's got the getting Moss. He's, you know, people mention Moss is a lot of great things said, okay? But that man said, I play what I want to play. They wanted to hang that man for it. But with the talent and how good he was, and he wasn't torn ACL'd up, compromised like Odell Beckham Jr., he still went out there in that field and performed and did what he was supposed to do. But my point is this. When you are a torn ACL, ankle, this, in dramatic, Odell, you better get used to your couch. That's all I'm going to say. Everybody, have a good one. Because you do not say that you want to play only when it matters. Because when it matters is every damn Sunday. Not when it just hit the playoffs. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to sign that. Now, if they do, good luck. But if they do, they damn sure had him sign on the dotted line that he will be plenty ready to play week one throughout the rest of the season. And all that. Now, goodbye.